Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our service. Welcome, William and Betsy and Franklin, via Zoom. Glad you could be with us. And we look forward to a good evening of worship together today. Let's begin with a word of prayer, and let's sing. Father in heaven, we're eternally grateful that we can gather in your name. And we're grateful that you have given us the privilege of having a relationship with you through our Lord Jesus. We praise you for that. We thank you for that. Thank you for all that you accomplished, Lord Jesus, in your life, your suffering, your death, and your resurrection on our behalf. And we just celebrate your great love. We rejoice and give you praise and thanksgiving. Holy Spirit, we're so glad that you're in this place, and we welcome you here tonight. I pray that our hearts will be open, our minds will be pure and open before you to receive all that you have for us. Just come and give us a fresh download of heaven and the Father's glory. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing. Jesus, I'm all yours. Do you agree? Then stand with me. Jesus, I'm all yours. I'm all yours, Jesus. Yeah. Who has another testimony you'd like to share with us tonight? See, you already did one. Wasn't so hard, huh?
The dog didn't bite through mommy's skin.
The dog didn't bite through mommy's skin. Praise the Lord.
And the dog didn't bite my children or my mom.
And the dog didn't bite my children or my mom. Praise the Lord. Yes, we're thankful no one was injured more seriously than the pain. So, that's great. It happened at the beach the other day. We have some national events that we need to be praying about. We have an election coming up in November that's closer than you might think, because September is 2 days away. And that amazes me, but Tuesday is September 1st. Where has this year gone? And at the same time, what a crazy year.
Bad year.
This has been, there are no bad years. No, I don't agree. The Lord is still on the throne. He's still king of our hearts. It's a good year. It's always a good year, always a good day to be alive with the Lord. It's been a hard year for a lot of people, and I agree with that. And there are people who would consider it a bad year. I just see it a little differently. And, you may have your opinion and be wrong. It's okay. Or right, whichever the case may be. Anyone else have something you want to share with us? Okay. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable things, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, tax in the mail, gifts and surprises, binding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Anna, do you want to pass the basket to me? Anyone interested in the children's story tonight? Oh, there are people interested in the children's story tonight. All right, that's good. That's great. Thank you, Jeremy. Great songs tonight. I think you've been reading my sermon notes again.
I try.
At least on some of them. That's hard to do when I don't have notes. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Tonight, I want to talk to you about a very important word, and it's called faith. I'd like one person to raise your hand and tell me what faith is.
Right.
An idea what faith might be?
Believing in something
you can't see. That's right. Excellent. Yes. Believing in something you can't see. Okay. A word that's very close to faith and means pretty much the same thing is trust, right? So it would also be believing in something you can't see, trusting in something you can't see. And someone has said it this way. Trusting someone who can see when you can't see. Okay? What does that mean? Isaiah, would you like to be my helper tonight? Do you have faith? You do? Do you have trust?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you trust me? Yes. Okay, good. I've got something here.
I'd be like,
what's
wrong? I'm not
helping.
I can't
know. This is called a blindfold. Have you ever worn a blindfold before? Will you wear a blindfold for me tonight? No. You don't trust me, huh? Okay, Renee trusts me. Great. Okay. Stand in front of me here.
Okay.
All right. As long as I don't make you do something dumb.
I'll say he's doing it. Okay. I'll say he's doing
it. I wouldn't make you do something dumb. Okay, can you see?
Nah.
Okay. Oh. The one thing I am going to ask you to do is follow my directions.
Okay.
You're the one that can't see. I'm the one that can see. Okay. So if you have faith, you'll be able to trust the one who can see, that's me, when you can't see, which is you right now. Okay, you can't see. So I'm going to give you some directions. Do you know what your left is? Your left and your right? And you know what front is? And you know what back is, and you know what turn to the left is, right? Turn to the left. Okay, good, good. All right. I think we'll make out okay. You'll have to listen, and you'll have to do what I say right away when I say it.
Okay?
All right. So let's start off by turning you around a few times.
Okay.
That's good right there.
I know.
Okay. All right. Now, do you know which direction you're facing? You're facing front, right?
I don't know.
Right. Well, your front is which direction?
What?
Where is front?
The way you're facing.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. The way you're facing is always the front, okay? So, all right. What I'd like you to do is turn right.
Okay.
Now, start walking forward. I didn't tell you to stop. Walk straight. Whoa, stop. Turn left. Turn quarter of a turn to the right. A little bit more to the right. That's pretty good. Take a side step to the left. There you go. Now, I want you to start walking forward until I tell you to stop. You can take real steps. You don't have to take this little
thing. No, I'm scared I'm going to hit something.
Oh, you don't trust me, huh?
I do.
Stop.
Okay.
Turn left.
Okay.
Start walking.
Okay.
Stop.
Is that how you walk? No.
Turn right.
Okay. Just walk. Regular.
A little bit more to the right.
Okay.
Start walking.
Okay.
Stop.
Oh, no. Okay.
Turn left.
Okay.
Start walking.
Okay. Here's
Sean. Stop.
Yeah, you're not.
Turn right.
Okay.
Turn right again.
Okay.
Turn right again.
Okay. Left a little bit. Okay, so walk forward. Left the side. Okay. Turn left.
Okay.
Hi. Hi.
I want to walk. My corner. We're stuck here.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Start walking forward.
I'm
not going to fall. Stop. Okay. Turn left. That's too far left. Turn right a little bit.
Okay.
There you go. Step forward.
Yeah.
Another step. Okay. Turn to your left.
Okay.
Take a little side step to the left. No, side step. Not turn. There you go. A little bit, slight turn to your right. I want you to sit down. That was good. You trusted me. You trusted me. She didn't know there was a chair behind her. She was set right now. Okay, you may take the blindfold off. Yeah, you did a great job. Thank you. Well done.
I'm sorry, Gary just sits down.
Here's your rewards for being such a good helper. Oh, I could have been Isaiah's, couldn't I? Okay. So that's what faith is. Now, we can't see the future, can we? But who can? God can. And so we have to trust him with the future and have faith in him and follow him and do what he says. If Renee had not stopped when I told her to stop, she would have bumped into things. Had she not turned when I told her to turn, she still would have bumped into things. And she had to listen and obey. And that's what faith is. It's trusting God to see what we can and to know that he'll take care of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your great love for us. And thank you for faith. We thank you for the illustration that you give us of faith in the scripture again and again. And as we look at it tonight, I pray that our faith will be strengthened. Thank you for the faith of these children. And I pray that they will have faith in you and trust you and obey you every day of their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. All right. If you were with us last week, you remember that we looked at Hebrews chapter 10. And this evening, I'd like to begin at the end of Hebrews chapter 10. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can open them to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. In Hebrews 10:38, the Lord says, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." Okay, so the righteous live by faith. And we belong to those who have faith and are saved. Now the question becomes, what is faith? Excuse me. So to answer that question, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews I apologize for the tickle in my throat. The New International says that now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. King James says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is what we have to hold on to when we don't have the actual thing. Okay, if we have the promise of something, until we actually get it and hold it in our hands or embrace it or see it, touch it, and feel it, we have faith that it'll come. We might say we hope it will come. Hope is similar to faith. But faith is, I believe, in at least in the way we use the term today, more firm than hope. It's a stronger form of hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's trusting and believing that it's actually going to happen. It's actually going to be here. And we're going to have some examples of that and in the scriptures to come. He goes on to say, faith is confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. And this is what the ancients were commended for. This is what old folks back in time, okay, were blessed for, were commended for, were said, good job, attaboy, way to go. That's what we want to hear, that kind of encouragement. Now, before I get on into the rest of Hebrews 11, I want us to flip ahead to James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. James has some things to say about faith as well. James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith, but has no deeds, no works? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? They're still going to be hungry and naked, aren't they? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Okay? So faith has to be acted on to truly be faith. You can say you have faith, but until you demonstrate that you have faith, do you really have faith? Let me give you an example. Now, James is going to have some good examples from the scripture, but I almost used this one for the children's story, so I'm going to tell another quasi-children's story, almost children's story here. You get two for the price of one. There was a man who was a tightrope walker, a high wire walker, and he was quite accomplished. And he was going to walk across a high wire across Niagara Falls. Do you know what Niagara Falls is? It's a really huge waterfall. And if you were to fall onto it or into it, you would not come out alive, very likely. So this man was going to walk across this high wire. And before he went, he said to the crowd that had gathered to watch him, how many of you believe that I can do this walking across the high wire? And oh, the crowd whooped and hollered, yeah, yay, we believe it. Well, how many of you believe I can do it while pushing a wheelbarrow? And fewer people, but still a good number of people. Yay, we believe it. Well, how many of you believe that I can walk across this tie wire pushing a wheelbarrow blindfolded? And one man said, I believe it. He says, okay, that's great. Somebody has faith in me. Now, come, get in the wheelbarrow and let's go. Would you get in the wheelbarrow? No. Why? You don't have faith in him, do you? If you truly had faith in him, you'd sit in the wheelbarrow, right? That's the difference between faith with works and faith without works. Either get in the wheelbarrow or you sit on the ground and watch. Okay? So that's my second children's story. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. You remember Abraham, the promise of Isaac, the son through whom many nations would come, and God would bless Abraham's descendants forever. And then God said, okay, take your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him as an offering to me on the place where I will show you. Abraham took him, laid him on the altar, had the knife raised, and the angel said, no, stop, that's enough. And then God provided a ram in the thicket to take Isaac's place. And so Abraham acted on his faith. He trusted God. He believed God. We're going to read about that again in Hebrews 11. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without action, without deeds, is dead. So if we truly believe, we're going to act like it. Now let's look at some more in Hebrews 11. We'll come back to Rahab here in a little bit in chapter 11. Okay, this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made out of what was So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Okay? So let me try that again. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So we believe in creation and that God created the world out of nothing. We believe that. That's our faith. And isn't it interesting that the writer specifically says, It was not made from what was visible. You know what was made from what was visible? That's what evolution teaches. Evolution teaches that the visible just continued to evolve and change and become better and better until it is what it is. But our faith is totally opposite of that. Our faith is that there was nothing visible, and God created what is visible from what was not visible. And I think that's pretty exciting. It's almost as if God knew this evolution thing was going to come. And he gave us the antidote for it from the beginning. So before it ever came. Now that's faith. By faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. And Abel's life speaks abundantly to us about obedience and following God's instructions on worship and offerings and how we live before the Lord. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Isn't that awesome? Enoch so pleased God that God just said, just come on with me. You know, it's like somebody said, God and Enoch were walking together one day, and as they did so often, they were such good friends and so close with each other that at one point God said, look, just come on to my place. It's closer than going back to yours. And so God took him. He went on. That's a nice way to think about it, however it happened. But Enoch, the scripture says, did not face death because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, listen to this, without faith, it is impossible. Can never happen. Impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those to earnestly seek him. You want a reward? Earnestly seek God. And he rewards you. That's God's promise. And what's the reward? We get to see God. That's an awesome reward. Moses saw God. Enoch saw God. Jesus saw God. And the list goes on. Earnestly seek him, and we'll find him. It's from Jeremiah 29. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, when you seek me with all your heart. We must believe that God exists. We must believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, the idea of reward somehow become suspect, I think, in much of our thinking. It's kind of the idea that we do it for the reward. And that's not the case. God is a rewarder. God is into rewards and rewarding people. And we should be into receiving rewards that God wants to give. Anything God wants to give us, we should say, thank you, Lord. More, Lord. I'll take what you have for me. And he has abundance. He has plenty, more than enough. And he desires to give us good gifts and to reward us. So receive openly, willingly from the Lord. Seek him earnestly with your whole heart. He's worth going after. And when you find him, don't let go. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear,
build an ark to save his family, I think it would have been holy fear. I mean, here's Noah, okay? Let's use Noah as an example of faith and works, faith without works, okay? God says, Noah, I'm going to bring a flood. I'm going to destroy the earth, and I need you to build an ark to save yourself, your family, and the animal kingdom. Noah says, okay, Lord, I believe you. And then he starts telling his family and his friends what the Lord's going to do. What does Noah do? He continues farming. He continues spending time with his family, going on vacations, enjoying life. All the time, the flood is coming closer and closer. And Noah says, yeah, I believe God's going to destroy the world. And I believe it. And I believe he wants me to build an ark and save him. And I'll do it sometime. No. I think that afternoon he started going for gopher wood. I think that afternoon he started gathering pitch and tar. I think that afternoon he gathered the boys around and said, hey guys, we got work to do. Here's the plan. God gave me this picture. God gave me this instruction. And we need to get busy on it. And they acted on their faith. Had they not acted on their faith, they'd have been all washed up. They'd have been treading water.
The town people laughed at him.
They laughed at him. That's right. The town people laughed at him. And who had the last laugh?
God did.
God did. And I think Noah chuckled along with him.
Yeah.
Except I think they grieved. I don't think there was much laughter when the water started coming and the ark door was closed. I think there was a lot of gratefulness, a lot of thanksgiving, and a lot of joyous, God saved us inside the ark, but certainly none outside the ark. Okay, so Noah shows us the importance of acting on our faith. If we believe God is calling us to do something, now's the time. Let me restructure that a little bit. When we hear God calling us to do something, our response needs to be, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Show me when. Show me where. Show me how. In God's timing, we're to do what he calls us to do. An example is my call to ministry, if I might share that briefly. I felt called to ministry as in my early 20s. And at that time, I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it, but you need to show me the time and place. And there came a time and a place where I was at my wit's end with what I was doing. And I felt like it was consuming me and I was not controlling it. And I felt like it was time to, I wanted to sell my business, get out of it, go to school and go into ministry. Well, while I was feeling that way, Pansy and I attended a church conference. And during that church conference, one of the speakers shared a story in his sermon about a young man who felt the call to ministry, and he had a business, and he sold his business to go into ministry, but the storyteller said he did it 2 years too soon, because after he sold his business, he had to clean chicken houses to support his family for 2 years before an opportunity in ministry opened up for him. Well, I heard that story, and I thought, because of my situation, that's for me. But the 2 years isn't what I heard. What I heard is, I'll tell you when. You stay where you are until I tell you to go. When the speaker was done speaking, one or two of my friends came up to me and said, Earl, that story was for you. Yep, I know, I got it. So I went back to the business and I worked in the business, and finally I did sell the business. And when I settled on the business, and the sale of the business, I realized that I was just a couple weeks away, one way or the other, I think it was just after, exactly 2 years after I heard that story. And then I went on to ministry and pastor churches, and I'm here now. And God speaks. So when I say, do it now, do it in his now. When he says, now's the time, don't gallywag, don't mess around, don't put it off, be obedient. I'm sorry for that long digression. I hope it's helpful to somebody. By his faith, by Noah's faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Now, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So Abraham left home to go to a place that God would show him, not knowing where that was. And he took with him his wife, his family, his nephew, his nephew's family, his servants, his flocks, his herds, everything he owned. It was quite a caravan. And it grew as he went, because God blessed him for his obedience. And that's what God does. God blesses us for our obedience. Now, God's blessing isn't always financial wealth. There are other ways that God blesses us. He blesses us with contentment, with peace, with joy, with satisfaction, with his presence. And he provides for us at the same time. So Abraham went. Where was he going? To the promised land, to the place I will show you. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Now listen to that. Sarah is a hero of our faith. Do you remember who Sarah is? Do you remember how she responded when she heard, in a year you're going to have a child?
I hope that it wasn't my mom, because that's what my mom's name.
Earl hopes that Sarah wasn't his mom, because that's his mom's name. Okay, this is a different Sarah, Earl.
Okay.
But do you remember how Sarah responded when the angel said, in a year you're going to have a baby? And she was, what, 80? 90?
90.
Yeah. It was a good belly laugh, wasn't it? And that's a hero of our faith. One who laughed at God when he said, you're going to have a child. Doesn't that give you hope? Okay, we messed up. We didn't hear God. We missed God. We didn't act on our faith. We thought we had faith, but we didn't, because we didn't do what God told us to do. He doesn't cast us aside. He doesn't throw us away. He redeems us. He's a God of second chances. But we have to come back to him. And a year later, Sarah had a baby, and his name was Isaac. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, Okay, he was over 90. Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. You know, when I've read that so many times in the scripture, and I remember growing up and thinking, as numerous as the stars in the sky, oh, that's a big number. You know, because I'd look up in the sky and I'd see a lot of stars. It's kind of like now I look up in the sky and we see stars, but don't see all that many. Well, you go out about 20 miles offshore. Or you go out about 20 miles in the woods and you look up at the night sky when there's no moon and no clouds. And that sky is just pinpricked throughout with more stars than you could possibly count. It's amazing how many stars there are. You can't count them all. I guess scientists think they have, but I'm sure they missed some, or maybe counted some twice. But there's a lot of stars. And then just take up a handful of sand on the beach and start counting the grains. Who wants to count one handful of sand for me? How do you get just one grain at a time to start with? You know, a microscope or a big magnifying glass and tweezers. It's just, you can't count. Well, that's what this is saying. It's not literal, but it's saying it's more than you can count. It's just a huge number. When God blesses us, he blesses us abundantly beyond what we could ask or think or even imagine. It's an amazing God that we serve. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And that distance was through their eyes of faith. Not that there around the corner it is, but I can't get to it. But it's somewhere in the future. And I believe God's going to keep his word. And I'm heading toward it. But I haven't received it yet. They welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. How many times did Israel want to return to Egypt when the promised land was just a little farther along? Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And that's awesome. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned or known." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a matter of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. You know, it is faith to bless your children when you're about to die because you believe they have a future, or you wouldn't bless them. And Isaac did. He acted on that faith. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instruction concerning the burial of his bones. Here's how Joseph believed. He said, "When you leave this place, when God leads you out of this place to the land that he has promised, you take my bones with you and you bury me in the promised land." He believed that it was coming. You know, if your dad or your granddad believed that strongly, don't you think you might have faith for it too? We need to demonstrate faith for our children and our grandchildren so they can demonstrate it for their children and their grandchildren and hang on to it for their own. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They trusted God more than they feared the king. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. There's something for us. Be counted with the people of God instead of the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Did you see that? Moses, last time I checked, is an Old Testament figure. But he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. He was looking forward to the Savior. He believed he was coming. He was living for him as best he knew how. Good word for us. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. There's another example of faith that works. Yeah, I believe that if I put blood on the doorpost, it'll save my son. But I don't put blood on the doorpost. I better put blood on the doorpost. We've got to show our faith by our actions. We can't just talk about it. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. Now that took faith. Day one, march around. People are on the wall looking down. What's going on? Day two, we march around. People on the wall. They're crazy. Day three, day four, day five, day six. People on the wall are getting more derisive all the time. What are they doing? They're out of their minds, the lunatics. Day seven, God spoke. And the walls came tumbling down. Down, down, down. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Not only was she not killed, but she was embraced by the Jewish people, became part of them, married in, and became a direct descendant, direct ancestor of King David, King Solomon, and King Jesus. Read the lineage in Matthew, and you'll read Rahab's name. There's hope for sinners. Our God is in life-changing business. All we have to do is give him our lives. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. So much could be said. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. Did you hear that? God blessed them for their faithfulness. They were destitute, persecuted, and mistreated, God blessed them for their faithfulness. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. They were all commended for their faith. Here's what I envision on that. They all died not having seen the fulfillment of the promise. They died looking forward to the fulfillment of the promise. When they died, they stood before the Lord, and he commended them by saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy." That's where we want to be. They and us are made complete together in Christ because of faith. We show our faith by how we live, by what we do. Let's pray. Father, how grateful I am, we are, for the heroes of faith that we have to look at in your word, for the teaching of what faith is, for the examples of people who lived by faith, and every one of them is a flawed person. Every one of them failed you at some point in their life, but you continued to work through with them. You didn't give up on them. You brought salvation. And you made this world into an awesome place. And you brought salvation through Jesus with their faith. Father, I thank you that we too can be included in the heroes of faith as we trust you, as we walk with you, as we act in obedience to you in living our lives. May we each do that every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight, and God bless you with an awesome week.
You too.